Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are here with Matt Gertz, who's Deputy Research Director at Media Matters, a web-based nonprofit research center dedicated to monitoring conservative media, and Stephen Salata, who is Associate Professor of English at Virginia Tech, author of six books, including Anti-Arab Racism in the USA, Where It Comes From, and What It Means for Politics Today. And Matt and Stephen, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Stephen, did I pronounce your last name correctly? Did I right?
Absolutely.
I had to make sure I had it right. Don't want to butcher people's names. But let's talk a bit. And Matt, I've been following everything you've been doing over at Media Matters since the tragedy in Boston, and the kind of weighing this media coverage. And let's just start with kind of the most egregious thing. Then I want to talk to you both about what you think the span of media is doing and how and why they're doing it. But when CNN in King's report started talking about a dark-skinned man, he had inside information. Or the New York Post talking about 12 killed. I mean, that kind of journalism, whether it comes from a progressive, conservative, whatever people want to call themselves, is kind of outrageous and irresponsible.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we are seeing over the course of as this investigation has developed is a real rush to get news out as quickly as possible.
Right.
I mean, we're not in, you know, the sort of old media environment where you'd have three evening news broadcasts, you'd have paper in the morning, and that was pretty much it. Everything at this point is, there's so much desire to have minute-by-minute coverage of everything that's happening, and when you try to do that in a breaking news environment, inevitably, if you aren't really taking the time to sift out the truth from the fiction, you're going to end up making a large series of mistakes. And I think that's really what we've seen over the course of the last few days.
But I think, you know, see, when I heard the reports about and the kind of diatribe going on in places like on Fox and CNN saying about dark-skinned, the suspects are dark-skinned. Of course, the FBI just had a press conference where they're searching for two potential suspects. I don't know what their ethnic background is, but they certainly aren't dark-skinned.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think a lot of, it's sort of a rush to judgment. Probably what we're seeing, what's happening behind the scenes is they're getting access to a lot of different early stage law enforcement discussions where people are saying, well, have you seen this picture of this guy? Have you seen this picture of that guy? We need to find out more about this guy. And so that just sort of spirals wildly out of control.
So when you cover these things, Matt, in all the media, when you look at things, I don't know where media has gone today in many ways, and we've kind of lost its bearings. A lot of it has lost its bearings. And when you have the National Review, and we've had people on the show from the National Review on numerous times, calling, whether you disagree with her or not, Giffords childish in her response to the vote. When that crossed the wires today, I was really astonished. I mean, just as the way the way the news is being interpreted for the mass of people in America.
Yeah, I think that sort of jumping off what I was saying before about how there is such a minute-for-minute desire to, produce more and more news and portray what is happening, you know, in the moment, I think that commentary has come down with the same problem. You have people that are not really thinking through the ramifications of what they're saying because they're so eager to have the comment of the moment. And I think that can lead people into saying things that I hope that they don't really believe.
And what do you think it fuels when we in this country, when you know, we've seen already, at least I've read of two instances, hope there are not too many more. One in New York, where a Muslim woman was attacked in the street, another where a Bangladeshi man was attacked, screaming, "You're a blank Arab," and beaten by men in the street. I mean, that we haven't had too many of those instances at the moment, Stephen, but you see them. But that's the kind of thing that when you hear people on Fox 45 and other outlets talking, kind of fuels this kind of real ethnic hatred and anger against Arabs, even with how this opened, where the first person taken in was a man running from the bombing himself who happened to look Arabic, so they took him in.
That's right. It's an extraordinary problem, in my opinion. First of all, I would want to add to what Jeff has said earlier, I absolutely agree with him about the nature of news broadcasting and media coverage, right, in this technological age. But, you know, to sort of fill in some of the blanks, going back to dark-skinned, I found that to be highly troublesome and irresponsible. I'm not a journalist. You know, I'm a writer and a professor, so I don't know the ins and outs of journalistic ethics or integrity, but it struck me as not only troublesome philosophically, but as problematic ethically, because everybody knows, based on the current tropes of American discourse, that dark skin codes or connotes as Arab or Muslim, right? And so that was his way of saying it seems like an act of Muslim or Arab terrorism without having to actually say it. And he went on, King went on, you know, for some time about, you know, the sensitive PC nature of these issues. And nothing in the past 2 days, ever since he started making those claims, right, has indicated that a quote-unquote dark-skinned person has perpetrated this atrocity. In fact, you know, as far as we know, nobody has been arrested and identified for it. And what happens then is you get a wide swath of geography and different cultures, right, in South Asia, in the Middle East, in Africa, even in Southeast Asia, right, Latin America in some cases, that end up sort of under the banner of this appellation of dark-skinned, right? And so anybody who's quote-unquote dark-skinned can also be identified as Arab or Muslim, and that's when the collective guilt comes in. And when the collective guilt comes into play, that's when some people feel free, right, might even find it necessary to lash out as quote-unquote dark at quote-unquote dark-skinned individuals, right, who fit this this amorphous profile. I think it's troublesome. And we're also talking about associating individual acts of violence with entire modes of cultural practice. So I was highly disappointed to hear King on CNN making those comments about dark skin. Even if he had information, right, I wish he wouldn't have used the term dark skin. I wish he would have discussed it a little bit more complexly and responsibly.
But clearly also, you know, when you look at what happened on CNN, and I can talk about some other media outlets in a moment, Matt, I mean, that the question is, how does CNN put up with that kind of journalistic irresponsibility? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that this is something that we've actually seen from CNN quite a few times in recent days, as they sort of try to adjust to. They seem to have adopted a sort of ethos that says the most important thing is getting the story first, not getting the story right.
Mm-hmm.
Scoops are very important in the media, but there are two types of scoops. There's the type of scoop that develops when you've spent a lot of time working on a subject that other people are not covering, and you uncover something that's actually new, and you bring it to the public exclusively, and, you know, that's a scoop. The other type of scoop is the type that comes from attempting to be the first to report information that everyone is going to eventually have anyway. And so CNN's come into has had trouble with this in the past. You may recall that when the Supreme Court found the healthcare law constitutional, CNN originally reported that it had been actually struck down before eventually, about 20 minutes later, realizing, oh, no, we've got this entirely wrong. That's the sort of thing that comes from being so eager to report something out that you don't take the time to determine whether or not what you're saying is actually true. Look, we're all going to, assuming that this investigation is successful, we're all eventually going to know who the person is that's arrested and charged with a crime for this. There really shouldn't be this sort of strange urgency on the part of the media to report it first, because it's an information that we're all inevitably going to know, and no one is going to say, wow, CNN got that news, you know, 15 minutes before any other outlet. Now I'm going to start watching them all the time. That's just not the way people think.
I want to let our listeners know that the FBI has posted the videos and photos of two men that they're interested in talking to. They're not saying they did it. They're interested in talking to them. They're on the web. And again, they are not dark skinned. Who knows who they are? Whether they are. What ethnicity they are, but it's not. You can look on the FBI website. It's there now. That's just, if you want to take a look for yourself, it's FBI.gov/news/updates on investigation. and it's all right there. And we'll also post it on our website so you can see it. And let me go to the phones here, 410-319-8888, and Taheem, you're on the air. Hi, Taheem, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome.
I have a statement, basically. Everybody is talking about this Boston thing. I understand what went down and how it went down. But the thing is, you know, this country, the United States of America, they welcome diversity so much. But when they hear people speak, you know what I mean, like in their own tongue to each other, you know what I mean, you know, now they turn to this one-dimensional thing, whereas, you know, they get scared. You know what I mean? And if this country welcomes people of other nationalities, you understand? Why do they fear so much when they hear people from Saudi Arabia speak Arabic? You understand? And, you know, Hispanics speak Spanish. You know, Indians speak their tongue.
Right, right.
And Asians speak their tongue. You know, you're just contradicting the formula that you say that you're in favor of.
Well, I do. Stephen, I think he makes some of the points that you've been making in your books.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a wonderful comment, and then I really thank you for sharing them with us. The simple answer is that not everybody is as welcoming and hospitable as the national discourse claims, right? I think that there's tremendous hospitality and tremendous emphasis on diversity all throughout the United States. My parents are both immigrants. You know, they speak my dad Arabic and my mom Spanish as their native languages, and so they've been treated to remarkable kindness throughout their adulthoods in the United States. But at the same time, they've been subject to, you know, racist taunts. They've been subject to marginalization. They've been subject to profiling, these sorts of things. So it's you know, when people claim that the United States is you know, a hospitable, diverse space, welcoming of everybody, that's not true of everybody in the United States. It also doesn't mention the fact of the type of inhospitable things the United States does abroad in various parts of the world that foment a sort of violence, right? And it also says nothing about the structures of inequality that continue to exist in the United States that are based on lots of things, but one of the major factors that they're based on is race and racial difference. So, you know, I think that when you see the United States as a more equal society economically, and you see the United States as then that's the point at which you'll see the United States as a more fully welcoming society.
And Matt, I'm curious your thoughts on what you've been seeing in the last few hours as things we might have missed in the media that you want to share with us.
I mean, I think that what we're seeing is really a sort of collapse over by the New York Post. They've really been sort of pushing the ball again and again on these stories. First reporting that 12 people had been killed in the bombing.
Right.
Then reporting that there was a Saudi national who was considered a suspect and was who was being held by law enforcement there in connection to the bombing. And then this morning posting photographs of two gentlemen whose pictures they said were circulating among law enforcement on the front page of their paper. And commenting that, well, there's these pictures of these two guys are circulating, and we also know that there are two suspects being considered, and we don't know if they're the same guys, but we're just throwing it out there. I mean, it's really
one of them
a breakdown
was 17,
in standards. I'm sorry?
One of those boys was
17
years old.
Absolutely, and he was apparently like a track star.
Right.
Star, and like in no way connected to any of these events, as the Post eventually clarified, you know, 8 hours later, after I'm sure that kid had a heck of a scare.
So I appreciate both of you and the work that you do, and appreciate you coming on Talk to Our Listeners here, and we'll continue looking at this over the coming weeks as we look at how the media's how this falls out with media, how the media is covering it. Matt Gertz, Deputy Research Director at Media Matters. We'll connect to his work and that and Media Matters on our website. Stephen Salata, Associate Professor of English at Virginia Tech. and his latest book, Anti-Arab Racism in the USA, Where It Comes From and What It Means for Politics Today. That will also be connected on our web. And Stephen and Matt, thank you both so much, and for the work you do.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a brief break. On our way to our break, I'm going to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. We'll be right back with Sound Bites. Don't go away.